The Bible says, "Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be very sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour. I underscored those two words. Remember him saying many times, Mine hour is not yet come. He said, The hour is at hand. It's here. And the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for capturing this moment, this eternal moment that was so pivotal in your plan of redemption. The willingness that we saw pictured back, centuries before, when Isaac willingly got upon that altar and Abraham pictured you offering his only begotten son of promise. And Lord, I pray now that you would guide and direct as we study and learn from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, I hush my heart. And I ask you now that we would see Jesus in a real and loving and blessed way. Beautiful hands. Beautiful heart, beautiful love. Thank you for the music. Thank you for how it's prepared our hearts. Lord, we've rejoiced and we're glad. And Lord, I'm not sad, Lord. I'm just overwhelmed with joy. Thank you so much for saving my soul, forgiving my sins, making a place for me in heaven. Lord, thank you that you're my dearest friend. Now, Lord, fill me anew and afresh, I pray. And Lord, use me and put me on like a glove. And Lord, point people to Jesus, I pray, in whose wonderful name I ask these things. Amen. Four word title. When God says no. When God says no. Now, a lot of times when you look at the preaching that's going on television and the neo-evangelicals and the contemporary and more progressive types of preaching and things, they try to get across this thought that if you do everything right, then God will do good things for you. And that if you have problems and trials, then there must be something wrong with you. Let me tell you something. Sometimes God says no. Sometimes he does. Now, before we get to that, I want to encourage your heart. I want to give you some help when God says no. I want to give you some victory things about when God says no. But before that, I want to tell you that God delights in saying yes. God delights in answering our prayers. Flip over, if you will, just a few pages to Matthew 22. Matthew 22. I'm sorry, I apologize. Matthew 21 and verse 22. Matthew 21 and verse 22. Jesus is speaking here after he was hungry, the Bible says, and he came upon a fig tree, and there was no fruit on the fig tree. By the way, let's not be a fruitless Christian. Amen. Let's bear fruit unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Find some way to blossom. Find some way to be a blessing. Because here in this context, he was passing by and he needed something, and that tree had no fruit on it. And he said, let no fruit grow on you from here. And that tree withered right there in front of everyone. Listen, please, if we're taking up space, God can move us out of the way for someone else that can bear fruit. And so I know I'm preaching to the choir here today. I know I'm preaching to the Sunday night crowd. I know I'm preaching to the faithful and all that kind of thing. But do not let Satan discourage you from serving Jesus Christ this week. Do something to bear fruit. And so they were amazed at this. Verse 21 says, and Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this, which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. Verse 22, you might want to underscore this verse or circle it. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, what's the word? Believing, ye shall receive. Believing in God and who he is, that this is something that God would want, that God would bless, that God can do. So I'm just asking you in faith, believing. You say, well, preacher, sometimes I don't know what God's will is. Well, why don't you just pray in case it is God's will and ask God until he directs otherwise, until he leads you otherwise. Pray in faith, believing. This is, Lord, I don't see anything wrong with this. I ask you, God, to do this mighty work. It might be cancerous. It might be some kind of a relationship issue. It might be some kind of financial need. It might be a need of a job. It might be all kinds of different things. But God, I pray in faith, believing that you can, and I'm asking you to do it. So please, God, do it today. Do it tomorrow. I'm trusting you. I believe you can do it. You know, if God directs another way, he'll make it clear. He'll make it plain. But don't miss out on God's answers to prayer by doubting. Don't do that. We read many times in the Word. Flip over to, Ephesians chapter 6. Would you look at that famous passage? We talk about the armor of God. And verse 18, the Bible says in Ephesians 6:18, praying always, say with me, praying always. We need to pray without ceasing, the Bible says. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5, pray without ceasing. Has the idea, the original language, has the idea of a persistent cough. You ever had a persistent cough? Somebody's going to cough now, I know. Just simply because I brought it to your memory. You know, that's the way it works. Power of suggestion. But sometimes you just wish you could stop coughing. Night after night, you're trying to rest, and you're just coughing your lungs up, it seems like. And just when you think you're settled down, here comes another cough. That's the idea of our prayer life. Talking to God persistently. Okay? So the Bible says, praying always with all prayer and supplication and in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit guide you. Romans chapter 8, it's another study, but Romans chapter 8 tells us that the Spirit of God will help us in our prayer life. Will help us to pray for things as we ought. Pray in the Spirit, the Bible says, and the verse goes on, and watching thereunto. You might want to underline that word watching. We're going to come back to that in a moment. Watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And so this thought of our prayer life. Now, there's times in our life that we seek out someone else to pray for us. Because there's an emergency need, there's a tragedy, there's something that's happened in our family or in our personal life, and we want to get a hold of someone who can get a hold of God. Because sometimes we can't get a hold of God. You ever been there, done that? You ever sought out someone because you're afraid that your prayer is going to bounce off the ceiling? And so you call up the preacher, your Sunday school teacher, you call up your mom and dad, you call up somebody and you say, would you pray with me about this? Nothing wrong with that. We're going to deal with that in a moment too. But folks, if you're a Christian, if born-again believer, a child of God, you have throne rights. You have throne rights. Amen. Wake up. You've got throne rights. And what I'm trying to help you with here today is what we have as Christians, and we're not to twiddle it away. God wants to be real in your life. He wants to minister and be your very best friend. In this passage here in Matthew 26, we find that Jesus himself, if there's anyone who's an example of prayer, it's Jesus, the only begotten Son of God. If you are at times, you might want to jot down these five thoughts here real quickly as we get started. But this thought of how to get back into prayer life with God. Number one is repent of sin. Repent of known sin. You say, I don't have any sin between me and God. Well, that's wonderful. I'm glad you think that. I've thought that many times until I got alone with God, until I asked God, is there anything between you and me? And I just sat and listened and waited, and he began showing me one thing. I had forgotten about it. I thought I was okay. Lord, I'm sorry. That was sin. That was wrong. Please forgive me. And I'd say, is there anything else between you and me? 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, say the same thing as God says about our sin. He is faithful and just to forgive us, and he'll show me something else. And then, much to my shame and embarrassment, he'll show me something else, and he'll show me something else, and he'll show me something else. And then, with a trembling voice and tears running down my cheeks and embarrassment, I would ask God, is there anything else? He'd say, no, son, that's it. That's all. And I'd sense the closeness of God's presence. Repent of sin. If you're going to get back in your prayer life with God, then repent of our sin. Number two, reject our behaviors. Not just saying, I'm sorry. It's leaving that behavior in the past. Repent of the sin and then reject the behavior. Proverbs has a lot to say about that. And then for the sake of time, number three, return to God's way. Return to God's way. Do what God would have you to do. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. James 4:17. So, repent of sin. Reject our old behavior. Return to God's way. And then get the renewing of God's Spirit. The renewing of God's Spirit. Psalm 51, David, he said, renew a right spirit within me. And ask for the Holy Spirit to be in charge and to guide you and to help you, to comfort you, to convict you. And then, and only then, can you have the joy restored? Restore the joy of your salvation. You know, so many Christians don't have any desire to witness because they have no joy. I mean, they're just mully grumps. Oh, woe is me, you know. A backslidden Christian is the most miserable person in the world. You might say that an unsaved person is miserable. No, they're not. They're having the fun of this world, the pleasure of sin for a season. You know who's miserable? A Christian not walking with God. Because they come in God's house, they can't be happy. They go to the world, they can't be happy. They're just miserable. So those five things, repent, reject, return, renew, and restore. So that helps us. None of those were Jesus' difficulties, though. None of those. He had no problem with any of those things. He was sinlessly perfect. And he prayed for hours. And he prayed daily. So what an example. But when God says no, when God says no, I want to point out a few things here. Look at verse number 38. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane. The Garden of Gethsemane is taken care of by the Franciscans. It's right there on the Mount of Olives. If you're standing in the Garden of Gethsemane, you're looking at the walled city of Jerusalem in front of you. And I could just imagine Jesus as he realizes and looks across the Brook Kedron, and he looks across there and realizes that in just a few hours, he's going to be hanging upon the cross with my sin and your sin, the sins of the whole world, upon him. He's going to be dying in agony and in shame. And he's seeking help. Have you ever needed help? Help that 911 could not give you? Help that your preacher could not get for you? Help that your parents could not get for you? Your banker could not get for you? Your doctor cannot get for you? He was seeking help. I encourage you to jot those two words down. I'll have two more pairs for you in a moment. I want you to see his passion. Verse 38 says, "Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful even unto death." Jesus never exaggerated. If anything, he always understated things. My soul is exceeding sorrowful even unto death. This is about to literally kill me. Dr. Luke records in his account of the Garden of Gethsemane, he records how that Jesus, when he was praying, that he sweat great drops of blood, that the capillaries near the surface of the skin under such great stress and strain, that those capillaries burst and mixed with the sweat glands, and that blood actually came upon the surface of his body. My soul is exceeding sorrowful. You know why we don't pray many times? Because we are comfortable. We have things that we need, and there's no passion. We don't need help. So the kindest thing that God can do to teach us about the wonderful classroom of prayer is to just let us go through some hard times and bring us to that place that it forces us to be passionate with him in prayer. Have you ever been wrestling with God as Jacob wrestled God in of old there in the book of Genesis? Have you ever just needed God to do something and you didn't deserve it, but you're asking for God's grace? Folks, if you have never been that one-on-one place with God, please learn from Jesus, because that day is coming. One day, somehow, some way, you're going to need God's help. He was passionate. We see that he had partners. The Bible says, tarry ye here and watch with me. Let me give you the picture here. He and the disciples, the 11 disciples that were there, Judas is off doing his thing with the high priest and all of that and working out the betrayal. So the 11 remaining disciples come with Jesus to the Garden of Gethsemane. He enters the garden and he seats 8 of them down and he says, sit here. He told them to sit. He said, sit here a while. He said, we're going to go on. He takes Peter, James, and John with him. The Bible says in the Gospel of Luke, about a stone's throw away, and he tells Peter, James, and John, he says, watch with me. Watch. Now later on, he says in verse 41, he says, watch and pray that you not enter not into temptation. We just read in Ephesians chapter 6, watching thereunto. So this thought of watching, let me suggest something to you. There are times that I say something to Hope, and I don't even say a word. All I have to do is go like this. And she knows what I was thinking. We'd already discussed it, you know, and all that kind of thing. And the decision is made, the timing is given, and I say to her, and she goes. Now, guess what? If she's not looking and not watching and not attentive, then she's going to miss it. Listen, please. If we're not attentive and watching, as it were, as we're not seeing God in a physical way, but we see him move, we see him direct, we see him speak, we see him guide in our life. Watch. And he had these three, the inner circle, the ones who were with him on the Mount of Transfiguration, the ones who were there with him when no one else was around, Peter, James, and John. And so he brings them along. Do you remember when Peter was in prison? Do you remember when the people gathered there in the house and they were having a prayer meeting asking God to set Peter free? You remember when Jesus told the disciples to go and to pray and wait upon the coming of the Spirit of God, and they prayed together? There's something good about praying with other people. There's something good about that. And Jesus called those that he loved dearly, and Peter, James, and John, and said, would you please come and would you please watch with me? Would you please pray with me? Now, it wasn't because Jesus couldn't get through on his own. But you know, he wanted the support and the love of friends. The Bible tells us that Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. And this was the most difficult time in Jesus's entire existence. His eternal existence was because he was taking my sin upon his holy body. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He said, would you pray with me? Would you pray with me? I wonder how many times that when someone says, would you pray about this and such? Would you pray with me about this? There have been times, I'll have to admit to you, there have been times over the years of ministry that when someone has said, would you pray with me about such and such? Sometimes I have forgotten. So more times than not, usually, I did it this morning, some folks said, hey, would you pray with me about so-and-so and this terrible thing had happened in their life and went into detail and things. And service people were coming in, going, all that kind of thing. I just prayed right then and there. There's something about hearing someone else pray with you about a need in your heart, a need in your family, a need in your life. It's a blessing that someone else is carrying that burden to the throne of grace. But when Jesus came back, his prayer partners weren't praying. They were sleeping. They were snoring. They were drowsy disciples. He had passion. He had partners. He had privacy. He went a little further. The Bible says he went a little further to pray. He didn't just stay in a prayer meeting. Listen, let me help you here. When you really need God's help, you need to be one-on-one with Almighty God. He cares about you. He's not necessarily going to speak through someone else. Sometimes he does. But you know, God can speak directly to you. God can bring the answer directly to you. The Apostle Paul was a sinner, saved by grace. Peter was a sinner, saved by grace. Mark Sears is a sinner, saved by grace. Herb Seaver is a sinner, saved by grace. Wade Shue is a sinner, saved by grace. Each and every one of us are the same. And he wants to speak and help us. Privacy. Privacy. When you're having a very serious, intimate talk with someone, don't you like to have some privacy? Eyeball to eyeball, talking with them. You want to focus on what they're saying. Husbands, we need to do a lot more of that with our wife. Listen to what she says. Look at them. Listen. Passion, partners, privacy. Look at his posture. The Bible says he fell on his face. He fell on his face and prayed. Luke 22:41 says that he kneeled. He kneeled. I want you to get the picture. It's not one is saying one thing, one saying the other. Okay, it's inconsistent. No, it's incomplete without the whole synoptic gospels put together. It's an incomplete picture. You put them all together, you got the clear picture. He knelt down, and the Bible says he fell on his face. There's something about a posture in praying to God. You might say, well, preacher, I can't kneel. I know people come forward and they kneel and that kind of thing. I just can't kneel. We were pulling into our subdivision, and there was this dear couple in one of the houses that we passed by as we go to our house. And I said to Hope, I said, one was kneeling there on the driveway and doing something with the grass, and the other one was a little further down on the driveway doing something with the grass. And I said, what are they doing? And I was driving, so Hope looked, and she said, she could see, and the sprinklers, they were getting all the grass around the sprinklers out of the way so the sprinkler heads could pop up, and they were doing that. I would imagine, I didn't ask him, I didn't survey him, I didn't stop and say, hey, by the way, when you pray to the Lord, when you really are serious about your prayer time, I'm not talking about praying, asking God to bless the food, I'm talking about your devotional time, your serious time of prayer, supplication, do you ever kneel when you pray? Oh, no, I couldn't do that. You understand, I got arthritis. There's something about our posture. Now, that's not everything. God knows, and if someone absolutely can't, they can't. But here's the Holy Son of God, the one who just spoke the word worlds into existence. And the Bible says that he knelt and fell on his face. And he cried out, Abba, Father, according to the Gospel of Mark. Abba, Father, not just Father, Daddy! If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. He was seeking help. He had a surrendered heart. Look at verse 39. The Bible says at the end of the verse, let this cup, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, if it be possible. He had a surrendered heart. Now, folks, when God says no, make sure that no matter what his answer is, that you have a surrendered heart. I want to share something with you. I spoke on Hezekiah not too long ago. I failed to tell you this little part. It didn't really fit into that message. But whenever Isaiah told Hezekiah that God said he was going to die and he was not going to recover, and Hezekiah had been a great king, I mean a great king, second only probably to David, one of the greatest kings of Israel as far as following God and ripping up idol worship and turning people's attention back to Jehovah God and all that. I mean, he did some wonderful things. And boy, did he really hit it with God. And he put his face to the wall and he said, God, why are you doing this? And please, would you please answer and don't let me die and these kinds of things, you know. I'm not saying that you can twist God's arm. I'm not saying that at all. But God looked down and for his own reasons, God spared his life, gave him 15 more years. 15 more years. I want you to remember something about that, though. In that 15 years, he conceived a son. And that son's name was Manasseh. And Manasseh turned out to be, as Hezekiah was one of the greatest kings, after King David, Manasseh was one of the most wicked and evil kings that the kingdom of Israel ever had. God knows best. And you know, sometimes God grants our request and sends leanness under our soul because we don't have a surrendered heart like was pictured by our Savior, Jesus Christ. God, if you don't do this, I won't serve you anymore. After all the times I've sung for you and witnessed for you and given out tracts for you and I've done all this and all that, and here you turn around and you do this to me. What kind of God are you? Say, people wouldn't do that. Don't be that naive. Don't be that naive. Israel did it. Israel did it. And God granted their request but sent leanness unto their soul. If God says no, it's for a reason. And God said no to Jesus. He said, no, you're going to take that cup. He had a surrendered heart, searching. We need to search all of God's ways and submit to God's will. Have a surrendered heart. A surrendered heart. When we're seeking help, have a surrendered heart. And then last, I'd like you to see this as we close. Look at verse number 42. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass from me. Now, notice the prayer has changed. He's been praying a while. He goes back to Peter, James, and John to check in with them. And he comes back, and the theme of the second round of his prayer has changed. Already, God is beginning to turn his heart. And he said, if this cup may not pass from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. If you've jotted down these words, a seeking help, a surrendered heart, jot these two words down, a settled hope. A settled hope. Knowing that God's in charge, he's in control, he loves me, he will only do what's best for me. A settled hope. A settled hope gives this. It gives an attitude of confidence. Gives an attitude of confidence. I don't know who holds. I don't know what tomorrow may hold. Bible says, Proverbs 27:1, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. I don't know about tomorrow, but I know God holds tomorrow in his hand. It gives an attitude of confidence, and it gives us, it glides us above the circumstances. It glides us above the circumstances. I'll give you one verse, and we'll be done. 1 Peter chapter 5. Skip over there if you would. If you can't quote this verse, you need to probably underline it. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10. 1 Peter 5 and verse 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Strengthen, establish, and settle you. A settled hope. So, Lord, I don't know. I wouldn't choose this. In Jesus, in his testimony, he is taking the cup of my sin and your sin. It was not, I really don't believe he's praying that much about Calvary in the sense of the nails and the crown of thorns and the beatings, being marred more than any man. Oh, it was horrible, the death that he died. But the Holy Son of God, taking your sins and mine upon his body, that was what he was saying. Is there any way, any other way, Lord? Father, all right, thy will be done. I don't know what God's plan is for my life in the next 20 years, next 30 years, I don't know, next 2 years, next 2 days. And you don't either. You don't either. God delights, I'm going to tell you this, God delights in saying yes. He delights in, because he loves us. He loves to give us the answers to our requests that we bring to him. But sometimes what we want, he says, no, no. And when God says no, realize that he said no to his only begotten Son. But what God gave as a result of that was so that Herb Christians could be saved. So that Brother Bob could be saved. So Brother Cliff could be saved. So that we could go to heaven. And that was the only way. And when we see Jesus in those beautiful hands that Emma sang about, those nail-scarred hands, I think we'll be allowed to hug the Lord Jesus. I certainly hope so. I think so. I think so. He said, handle me, touch me, okay? And I think that he will welcome us home and be able to hug the neck of our Savior. We would sing that song. Sing it with me if you know it. It will be worth it all. When we see Jesus, life's trials will seem so small. When we see Christ, one glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. Let's stand together, Heavenly Father. I don't know what people are going through right here today in our midst. Lord, there might be a marriage that is on the rocks and being targeted by Satan. I pray, God, that you would expel the demons and devils of hell and the anyone who's trying to cause problems in that marriage. Lord, I pray for rebellious teenagers, be they children or grandkids. I ask you, God, that you would soften their heart. Lord, may the love of Jesus be seen in those that are praying. And Lord, may we realize that we're not the ones bringing an order to a drive-thru from a glory drive-thru and expecting you just to snap to answer our prayers. Lord, may we sojourn in prayer. May we spend time with you. And Lord, it's in that time that we wrestle with you for your answer. So it's those times that we find your nature and your love. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Some people would say here, preacher, okay, I need God's grace. I really need His grace. There's some things I've been praying about, and I want to pray in faith believing, and I am praying in faith believing, but I also want God's grace so that if He says no, that I'll be willing to accept that. I'll be willing to trust Him that He does all things well, and I want the balance. I don't want to quit. I don't want to give up. I want to pray, but I also want the grace to surrender to Him. I believe He'd be honored in that. If you say, preacher, that's my prayer. That's my desire. I want both. I want faith to believe, and I want faith to surrender. God knows my heart. Would you slip your hand up, Christian? Yes, God bless you, many of us, many of us. Heavenly Father, I do pray now that You would minister strength, increase our faith, and Lord, may we hang on to the throne of grace until You send the answer. And Lord, rejoice in the answer and surrender to the answer, whatever it may be. Thank You for Jesus. Thank You, Lord, for the direction that He gave. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. If you need to come and pray, you come and do that right now, would you? Christian, if you need to, you know whether you do or not. Maybe you want to take someone by the hand and just, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with Him. Maybe you want to take somebody with you and just come and pray for a moment. This is not the prayer time that you need. This is just an introductory time. Say, Lord, I'll be talking with You later. I'll be spending time with You. Lord, I surrender. I surrender all.